Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Stanley Cup Champions Edition. My name is Talon Jenkins. Joined with our host, we got Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing tonight?
Doing good. It's finally off season, but I'm glad we finally get to talk about the Stanley Cup champion Avalanche. And over to Joel for that one.
That is the sound of victory. Cork being pulled. My favorite bottle of rum.
I was like, what the fuck was that?
Nah, that's what I'm drinking the last 3 days. It's been a hell of a time here. You don't get to experience these moments often in your life. 2014 Germany World Cup. Won that shit over Argentina. 2019 LSU beat Clemson. But this one might be the crown jewel. You know, obviously I experienced the Avs winning their first two cups, but I was a kid then. I didn't experience the loss that we went through 5 years ago. I was in Bucharest. Worst season of the cap era, the Avalanche, 48 points. I was waking up 3-4 in the morning over there in Romania, and that was brutal. But this is what makes it worth it, right? You go through the tough times to make it to the glory years, and these are the glory years. Especially after the last couple of years, we were good enough to win the cup, just had some difficulties with injuries and superior coaching on the side. But it's been crazy, man. Monday I was fucking crying at random times during the day at work, just random. It's been a fun time. It's been an emotional time. You know, Chris Cuthbert on the Canadian broadcast, these are words that I won't forget the rest of my life. Cale Makar, he said before the series that the Lightning are a team that's trying to cement a dynasty, but we're just trying to build a legacy. And Chris Cuthbert, at the end of the game, 5 seconds left, he says, "The dynasty will be denied, and a new legacy begins." And that's just words that I'm going to remember the rest of my life. So, yeah, fucking hail the Avalanche. We're the best team in the world, and we're going to get some more on top of this. I got more to say later on, but that's a good intro, man. It's the best feeling, man.
We'll definitely be getting more into that for sure. For now, though, we'll keep on moving along here. Everybody go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website, man. That's the place to be. I know hockey season's over and stuff like that, but there's still tons of good sports going on. Baseball's a million games into their 7 million game season. So look out for that. The boys in the MLB pod are absolutely killing it. I think we have some USFL playoffs going on this weekend to cap off their season. CFL's popping off. There's still golf. We got a major coming up at St. Andrew, I believe, next weekend. Or is that this weekend? That's next weekend. Tons of good content, man. So go check out Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. Shout out. Listen to all the other shows, even the MMA show. Go check everything out. And, of course, shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Slack group. Season's over. Slack group's still popping off. That shows how strong it is, man. So shout out to all of our friends and pals in the Slack group. Couldn't have had as kick-ass of a year as we did without all you guys.
Yeah, we got the USFL championship game this weekend with the Philadelphia Stars have made it with Blob there. And I don't see your toothpaste-haired mascot in
Fuck
there.
Fuck off. Dave the Wave, man.
I think that they dropped that last week. But yeah, it's been a lot of good stuff there at Sports Gambling Podcast. Check out the website. Check out the Slack. And make sure you subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on whatever platform you're on. You can go to sg.pn/hockey for Apple, sg.pn/hockeys for Spotify. And leave us a 5-star rating review. You know, it's going to be the offseason, going to be the doldrums here, but we're going to try to keep the content going for you and keep you entertained.
All right, we'll start jumping into things here. Let's get right to this. Joel, you know we're throwing it to you. Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup in a very dominant fashion. I would love to say that Tampa put up a decent effort. I cannot say Tampa put up a decent effort. They went 14 minutes without a fucking shot on goal. Joel, over to you, bud. Colorado wins the Cup. Take it away.
Yeah, we don't have much time. Not enough time to list all the things that I could say. Every freaking player on this team, Bo Byram, he had the best game in that game six. He's been awesome since stepping up for Sam Girard. So I want to shout out him first. Jack Johnson, of course, you know his stuff. His parents ripping him off from his money in the first major contract he had. So I feel for him winning the cup now. Andrew Cogliano, he got robbed of the Ironman streak. He got the cup. He got the cup third overall, which says a lot considering he was a recent addition to the team. But the most of all, obviously MacKinnon. MacKinnon's he wanted it more than anyone. But most of all, Eric Johnson, longest tenured AF. He's been with the team for a while. He was the first overall pick, had some struggles in St. Louis. He was traded to the Avalanche. He's been a warrior for us. He's best buds with Landis Gogh. So the whole thing it went years back. Landis Gogh was saying, when we win the cup, I'm going to give it to you first of all, first of anyone. And that's what happened. He gave him the cup first. He almost retired actually this year, but Sakic convinced him that he needed him and he came back. And I'm sure he fucking is glad he did. So shout out to EJ. Kemper, too, was solid at the end there. He had bad stats, bad playoffs, but he was good enough for this team to win the cup because the Avalanche, obviously, the best team in the league, but they just needed some decent goaltending, and he gave the saves when they needed them. So shout out to him, too. He was really pumped at the end there. Kadri, of course, Talon's well aware. He's shouting out all those fans in Toronto who wanted him gone, but Joe Sakic stuck with him. I mean, I wasn't sure that he would be able to do it, so maybe I'm kissing his ass as well. We know that quote there. But he kept it together. We saw in Nashville series especially where the Predators were trying to, like, goad him into stuff, but the rest of the Avalanche players were just talking to Kadri nonstop, like, just let it go, let it go, let it go. And he did, and he kept his composure and came back from a fucking broken thumb. He was supposed to miss like 6 weeks, whatever, with the shit, but he came back in 18 days and scored a pivotal OT winner in game four, despite Cooper's complaints about the six men on ice. Incredible win, best team. This is one of the best cup finals in the salary cap era, I think. We had the Bruins and the Canucks, obviously, that was a big one, the Canes. Winning theirs was a huge series too, but this one was best on best, right? Like the newcomers beating the champs, beating the team that's been there for 10 years, it feels like. And passing the torch for sure. So let's fucking go, Avs.
You forgot, most importantly, Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, former Flyer, denting the cup right before the picture.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic moment.
Left that for you, yeah.
That was unreal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you needed some Flyers touch there. You lost Belmar to Tampa Bay, but you claimed Aubé-Kubel off waivers and you went to the cup. So, I mean, claim a Flyer off waivers and you're going to go to the cup. It's only, I'm just sad Claude Giroux didn't go there instead of Florida, of course, but a great Cup win by the Avs. They were the favorites for a long time. They put up what they had to do. After last season, McKinnon was getting asked if he could win. He was like, you know, I haven't won shit. And now he's winning, and they got the cup. And they definitely are going to be, I think they're already the favorites for next season. We'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, the Avs, they have a great core there. We saw the Lightning turn into a dynasty, and the Avs are the making of that as well.
I heard that this is the fifth time that the cup favorites from the beginning of the year won the Stanley Cup in the last 30 years. So it just shows you how hard it is to do, even if you're the favorites to win it.
That's the funny thing about hockey, man. It's one of the hardest sports to actually win the championship in, because anything can happen in any given night. You know, you think of things like basketball or things like football, maybe even soccer. I'm not too sure. But like traditionally, the better teams do find a way to kind of win. Hockey's not always like that, man. So all the credit to Colorado. Like I said earlier, they won in a dominant fashion too, man. Like, not even just in this Tampa series, but all throughout their entire run. What did they lose? 4 games in total, the entire playoffs? Like, they swept Nashville. Who did they play next after
Blues.
That? The Blues. What did they lose? One game to fucking St. Louis?
They lost two.
Two and then swept the Oilers.
Two to St. Louis, swept the Oilers, and then lost two to the Stanley Cup, double-time Stanley Cup champions, Tampa Bay Lightning, right? So it was a dominant fashion, and it was a dominant game, man. That game 6, obviously Tampa kind of came out hot. They put up some good pressure. They got on the board early, but it was a no-brainer, dude. Colorado shut them down completely for the last half of the game. So give that team all the credit in the world, you know. And like Joel said it too, give credit to Darcy Kuemper, man. I know he only had a couple shots and shit towards the end, and we've been on him a little bit this year. But in the end of the day, all you can do is ask your goalie to give you a chance to win, and he gave them a chance to win, right? So everything clicked, and yeah, man, like you said, it's good to see. Like, fuck, guys like Nazem Kadri, obviously personal note for me. You know, I love Naz. Everybody, most Leaf fans, I could say 90% of Leaf fans are more than happy for him. Guys like Nathan MacKinnon, too. A couple of the vets like Eric Johnson you talked about as well, Joel. This is cool, man. And it was really cool to see Sakic hoist the cup again, too, right? You know, growing
absolute
up,
like, winner.
100%. You like growing up, you always saw those videos and shit back in the day of Sakic hoisting the cup over his head, and he's just one of those guys. It's always cool to see him have success, right? So, good on Joe. That's awesome to see. Good on Colorado organization, and good on Colorado fans, man. You know, they earned it. They had a great year, and the best team in the league won the Stanley Cup.
Make sure to get down on the Wins Bet $50 Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. WinBet is also offering an ultimate fantasy football experience. If you bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st, 2022, you'll get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a 2-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. They're also offering a Party with DJ Diesel package, where all users can bet $100 on NBA or casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel this summer. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I saw something today about Kuemper during the playoffs, Bednar said he had to go to an optometrist 2 or 3 times a day to retrain his eye after having his concussion and the stick up there. So, I mean, putting in the effort there to, you know, he didn't play to his best, but he put everything out there and he got rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay lost to a Pirate, man. He's fucking Darcy One Eye. There you go.
Darcy.
Can you say a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
I like Darcy One Eye. That's fucking incredible. Sorry. All right, we'll move on down a little bit here. Some more kind of news to come out of it. I don't think any of us were too surprised here. You know, there were some people that made a nice kind of late series push. But Cale Makar wins the Conn Smythe in a dominant fashion. 29 points in 20 games as a defenseman. This kid's a fucking stud, dude. There's no way around it. Arguably the best defenseman in the league. You know, I always thought it was Victor Hedman. Nope, I think he still might be. But for what Cale Makar did this year, and especially in this playoffs, that's something special. Joel, you guys got a hell of a D-man out there in Colorado.
Yeah, I think he overtook Hedman in this series here. Hedman struggled throughout the playoffs. He had a few good games, but he wasn't quite himself throughout it, and he wasn't in the major injuries category too. So people thought that he might have been suffering from something, but apparently it was just the usual aches and sprains and bruises and all that. But Makar, he's otherworldly. We saw that he had a tape wrapped around his hand, which explains why he's bobbing the puck a bit in game six. So he was fighting through stuff too, which explains why he didn't have the best game there. But yeah, there was no question. This guy was minus 700, minus 800 to win the Conn Smythe when the Avs took a 3-1 series lead. So yeah, there's no question. He won unanimously too, which doesn't happen very often. Usually there's a few random voters to vote for someone else, but this guy was a walk-away winner, cashed on that. So hail Makar, man. This all hail Kale. This guy is the best. He's going to win a Hart Trophy before he's done, not to mention a few more Norrises.
Yeah, clean sweep there. Joel said it for Makar. He was clearly, I didn't see him as high as minus 700, but I saw minus 300, minus 400. And yeah, there were
after game five. I'm talking about after game four, after game four minus 700, minus 800. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Rantanen made a good push there. If Nichushkin scored a little bit more, maybe he would have made a push if there was some hero ball there. But yeah, Makar was, throughout the playoffs, the best player, probably not named Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, but just playing both sides of the ice, being able to shut down McDavid and Draisaitl, being able to shut down the Lightning. I mean, he clearly is the best defenseman. He doesn't look like it. He looks like a little kid out there at times. But yeah, he's incredible. I'm pissed that the Flyers passed on him, even though I don't think they would have taken him. But yeah, he's great. The Avs just have a fantastic defenseman there in Kale Makar.
He just looks like a kid in his face. Like, he's actually a tall guy, and he actually throws the body around. So he's actually a dominant defenseman too. But it's just his face makes him look like he's 13 years old.
He looks like a little baby.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But he doesn't play like one.
No, of course not. Always good to, you know, that's a guy that will throw his weight around too, eh? Like, honestly, I knew he was great. Obviously, I watched him a little bit in the season, but to actually watch him in that series, you know, this guy will be going into corners or going around the net, and he won't be afraid to kind of get the first little lean on, you know? So that's what it takes to play. And maybe he catches some guys off guard, and he's a hell of a player, strong presence, all the talent in the world, great skill, and good defensive mind too, right? So a lot of credit for Kale Makar, man. The guy's a fucking stud, and he will be. And what a contract. You guys locked him up, was it last year? $9 million for, like, what, 5 or 6 years or some shit for this guy? That's an absolute steal, man.
For sure. McKenna was asked after the win there, what does it take to win the Stanley Cup? And he says, find yourself a Kale Makar. Just says it all.
Imagine if your team passed on him in the draft. That would suck, eh?
Could not even imagine that. No.
The Avs are bad at drafting after the first round, but we get our fucking first round picks right, let me tell you.
All right. Well, let's give a little bit of credit to the Tampa Bay Lightning here, man. You know, there's no argument that this team was a dynasty. To do what they did in the cap era, they won two Stanley Cups. The next year, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, lost in Game 6. Regardless of how it all played out, this is still a fantastic team. And they had a couple notable injuries. Obviously, that's the best part of the Stanley Cups. The injury list comes out. Well, Tampa Bay had a few significant ones. I'll run off them here, and then if you guys want to add anything about any specific player, by all means, go for it. Braden Point had what they call a significant quad tear. I believe he suffered that after the Leaf series, so he's been suffering through that for a good couple weeks. Kucherov and Bellemeer had meniscus problems. Anthony Cirelli had an AC joint sprain. He does need off-season surgery. Ryan McDonough with a mangled finger. I don't know what the proper diagnosis of a mangled finger is. Ryan and I were talking about this before the show. I guess his finger's just fucked up. I actually Googled the term mangle to see exactly what it meant. It pretty much just means fucked up. Hagel, he has a foot fracture, which was suffered during the Florida series. Corey Perry has a shoulder ACL joint sprain. And Nick Paul has shoulder ACL joint sprain and an MCL sprain. So a couple, this team is walking skeletons, right? I'm not saying this to take anything away from Colorado, but it's just interesting to see, you know, all the injuries that teams like Tampa suffered. And obviously Colorado had their fair share too. It's the playoffs. Nobody's healthy, right? Boys, any thoughts on that, though? You know, McDonough's mangled finger, fucking Perry's, what, AC joint sprain? Anything jump off the page to you there or what?
I do want to give McDonough credit for coming out after game four and saying it was not too many men on the ice, because that just, those plays happen all the time. But yeah, a lot of injuries here for the Lightning. But yeah, it's just crediting the Lightning for pushing through that. Just this is what happens in the playoffs, because the Avs had plenty of injuries as well. We had them, Joel mentioned Makar had his hand taped up. Kadri came back from a broken thumb after being reported that he would miss the rest of the playoffs. Nichushkin had a fucked up foot, probably a mangled foot, you could clarify it as. Cogliano played through a hand injury, and I think he injured his foot in game 5 or 6. So yeah, the Avs were just completely beat up too. This is just playoff hockey. That's what happens. But we did forget one key injury on the Tampa Bay side. John Cooper has hurt feelings after the series. It looked like
mangled feelings.
After every goal, it was like the Lightning just running to the top. Like, okay, can we challenge that? Is there goal interference? Is there offsides? It's like, no, you got scored against. You got beat. Move on. That's what it is.
Ultimate lawyer. Yeah, I think Brian said all about those guys. Lightning are warriors. This is why this is a huge win for the Avs, because the rest of the, you know, the Blues were our toughest competition before that, but the Oilers and the Preds, there weren't much of a contest there most of the time. I mean, obviously, you're funding McDavid and Draisaitl, which takes a lot of effort on the back end and all that. But altogether, the Lightning were the real challengers, and it's you got to beat them. You got to be the Got to beat the best to be the best, and that's what we did. Yeah, Lightning were just struggling through stuff, but obviously the Avs were as well. Just one more thing on Nichushkin. It's funny hearing these stories coming out after the game, like Nichushkin getting pulled in a car, beer in hand, after the game. Grumpy. He's grumpy about not being able to take the cup to Russia. We got McKinnon stumbling after him drunkenly with a beer in hand as well, asking, "How's your foot?" And then there's Pavel Francouz, who apparently, according to Eric Johnson, was the drunkest guy at the party afterwards, just randomly interrupting Landeskog's speech, being like, "We're going to win it again." So shout out to the Packers goalie, too. Credit to him, too. You went 6-0 in the playoffs as well, so we couldn't have done it without him. Yeah, just a total team effort. And I look forward to the parade tomorrow.
He should have got the Conn Smythe. 6-0 in the playoffs? Come on. Oh, undefeated. Yeah.
Bro, I'll tell you right now, like, I was a goalie when I played and shit, and I backed up one of my junior years, and I'll tell you right now, I was high as a fucking kite and sometimes boozing on, like, you know, halfway through the game and shit at the intermission anyways. So Francouz was probably fucked up before the third period even hit, man. He was getting drunk and drinking out of that cup, whether they won or lost in game 6. I'll tell you from backup goalie experience, guy's probably just fucking buckled, all right? So that's awesome to hear.
Kemper couldn't see straight, and he couldn't either.
Exactly. Yeah, he was Darcy, and I don't fucking know, Pavel, Fran. I can't even make a pirate joke, but something stupid. But yeah, man, we love backup goalies that are fucking tanks on this show, okay? So we'll put that one out there. All right, boys, that pretty much wraps up most of our stuff when it comes to Colorado and Tampa Bay. Again, congrats to Colorado, congrats to the team, congrats to the fans, congrats to the organization. Congrats to Joel. Congrats to everybody that made a hell of a lot of money off Colorado this year, too. You know, so of course. All right, we'll jump in. It's officially the offseason, man. You know, we're probably going to see a lot of trades on the draft day, which is coming up. I believe that's on July 7th. I think that's on Thursday. It already came. The 13th? I don't fucking know.
Whatever. No, did you say the draft or free agency?
The draft. That's on the 7th, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The 7th.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought, bitch. All right, so it's already kicked off a little bit. We had some news coming out of Minnesota today. The Minnesota Wild, we all know they're in cap hell because of the recapture penalties or whatever on the Suter and Parise deals. Well, they traded Kevin Fiala to Los Angeles Kings. They traded him for a 2022 first round and Brock Faber, who's a second round pick out in 2020. He was University of Minnesota captain, so not a slouch player here. That's a pretty good kind of return, especially if when the Kings know that, you know, Minnesota does need to shed some salary, but they are getting a hell of a player here in Kevin Fiala as well. So it does make sense. Boys, what do you think here? Does this work out for both teams? Maybe LA is something to watch out for next year. Not a bad looking team. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is a good trade for both sides here. Just to kick off the offseason, there were a lot of talk around Fiala being a guy that could be moved. This morning they said they were going to pick up, and then this afternoon it was Fiala traded to the Kings. I mean, the Kings then signed him to, I think, a $7.9 million cap hit deal. So he's only 25. He's been great since being traded to Minnesota for, who did he trade for? Granlund, 1-for-1? Something like that.
Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
he had 76 goals in 196 games. It's over 30 goals per full 82-game season. Had 33 goals, 85 points this past season. So, yeah, the Kings are going to be a team to watch out for. They didn't even fade toward the end with all their injuries. So if they can still kind of bridge this gap between their veterans with Doughty and Kopitar and these new guys they're bringing in. They could be a team to watch for out in the West. And Minnesota is getting a first-round pick and a second-round pick, a Minnesota guy who there was a cool picture either on Twitter or Instagram. The Wild tweeted out with Kaprizov celebrating with Brock Faber in the first row celebrating with him, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, a great trade to kick off the offseason, and hopefully it's going to be a fun one.
I think Ryan said most of what I was going to say, but yeah, it's a good deal for both teams, I think. Kings are gearing up for another run here with their veterans. Quick, Kopitar and Doughty healthy again. So, yeah, I think the Kings, they're gearing up for like the last stand of those old guys. And this is what you have to do. This reminds me of the trade they made for Arvidsson last year. Just something to keep these old guys happy, make them feel like they're not just rebuilding. Like recently, Jonathan Toews being unhappy with the Blackhawks situation there. Kings going the opposite route. They're gearing up. They're just throwing everything at the wall, hoping something sticks. It's a great deal for Fiala here. They locked him up long term as well, so he should fit into the young guys coming up too. So I think the Kings will be around for a while, even after Kopitar, Doughty, and Quick are gone. Because, of course, they have Cal Peterson as well there in net. He should be a stud goalie on the back end for a while, too. So, yeah, on the Minnesota side, they get a pick to solve some of their cap issues. So I don't think that they're going to be as good this year, but that's good news for them going forward. So, yeah, it's a good deal for both teams.
Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest-growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now, you can make money on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then, choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over-Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over-Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right, join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP.
All right, that wraps up that trade. There's something not in our notes I'm going to drop on here, boys. We'll just touch on it a little briefly. Hockey Hall of Fame had 6 new inductees this year like they do every year. These are pretty prominent figures here. So we got goaltender Roberto Luongo, both Daniel and Henrik Sedin, couple Vancouver greats there. Daniel Alfredson, Ottawa Senators captain, former Sens captain, superstar. Women's Finnish star Riikka Salonen, and in the builder category, Herb Carnegie. So a couple notable names there. Figured we'd throw that one in. Joel, I don't know if you have anything to say about your local Vancouver Canucks studs there or anything.
Yeah, for sure. Sedin's are always going in first ballot, no question about that. I'm still waiting for fucking Alexander McGillin to get in.
I know. 76 goals in one season. This guy, he's part of the Triple Gold Club. Fucking, this guy still hasn't been inducted.
And he won a Stanley Cup, plus he defected from the fucking evil empire.
First Russian player to defect.
Yeah, I don't know why he doesn't get in. So, yeah, I thought he should got in before Luongo or maybe Alfredson too. But obviously those are good players as well. But a huge day for the Canucks with Luongo there, plus the Sedins, obviously. And yeah, let's hopefully McKinley gets in next year.
Yeah, I mean, good to see the Sedins getting in. You knew they were going to. I forgot how good Luongo was for so long. I mean, he's just been like a great personality around the game recently. But you look back at his numbers, his first in Florida, his in Vancouver. I mean, he's just consistently great for almost 20 years. So yeah, well deserved there. Then Alfredson was always the guy that kind of Drew got compared to, or you know, he couldn't stay whole career with the same team. Couldn't really ever get too much done. But yeah, it's good to see them. And I have something for you guys that I meant to bring up around the injury talk. I'm kind of surprised with all the gambling involved with the NHL that they're not going to make teams like make better injury reports.
Disclose injuries?
Yeah, because like there has to be at some point where there's going to be a big injury. I mean, these are pretty huge injuries. And like gambling, you can't go 5 minutes without seeing it during a game, during a commercial, whatever. So I feel like there's going to be a point where when gambling becomes so prevalent that they're going to have to do something like that. But I don't know if with the spirit of hockey culture, if that's going to be a thing. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I'll jump into that, man. Like there, a lot of what you said there is pretty prominent, right? Like from the hockey kind of culture that we've all been installed in over the years, especially as like, you know, players and shit like this, you don't act hurt if you're hurt. You know, as growing up as a kid playing, they tell you're hurt, you get the fuck off the ice. Simple as that. You don't sit there and roll around and all this shit. You get off the ice, and more importantly, you try and play through it, right? So from that side of thing, it's going to be like a different mindset around the league for this to actually change. Now, rightfully, it should. You know, people are putting money on this. Like, you know, hockey gambling specifically is starting to get a hell of a lot more mainstream. Ryan, you said it. We're seeing it every commercial break. You're seeing it on advertisements around the board. SportsCenter has their shitty little cabbie segment. Like, it's a thing now. It's a thing. So, yes, they're going to have to. Look at people like the NFL. You know, they'll just list players as day-to-day or questionable, you know, up to 5 minutes before game time, then they'll end up playing. Maybe that's something you'll start to kind of see a little bit, like questionable, lower body. But I think part of it too, like, I don't know, you can say this for any sport, so don't get me wrong, it's not like hockey specific or whatnot, but, you know, if you go out there and you say, oh, I got a fucked up wrist, but I'm still playing, if you think for a second that people aren't going to be taking shots of that fucking wrist from a player's point of view, you're high, man. Like, you're going to be chopping, you're going to be doing something dirty and stupid, you know, that's just part of the game. So that's the kind of defense of it. But if, you know, NHL starts having, you know, partnerships with the books and with Vegas, you know, Vegas is going to start demanding that they're a bit more open about what's going on, you know, behind closed doors, so to speak. So I think it's something that will be addressed, whether that's this year or next year or going forward. I think it's going to happen eventually.
I wouldn't change anything during the playoffs. Let these guys play through it and do not disclose what these guys have, because obviously, like you said, they're going to be targeting these areas like fucking Tom Wilson's and Corey Perry's of the world will be doing what they can to subtly attack these injured areas. But during the regular season, absolutely, guys should be disclosed to what they have, and they should be announced out way earlier than they are right now. Like, fuck off with these game time decisions, even though they have no intention of playing the next day. So we get a clearer idea of who's playing and who's not. So yeah, during the regular season, I'm fine with that. But regular or playoffs, I'm all good with how it is.
I was surprised that, and I may not have noticed it, that there was really nothing, no cheap shots given to Kadri when he came back. But I don't know if that's just like a unwritten thing where obviously Tampa has injured guys too. And if they go after Kadri, they'll go after those guys. So maybe it's a gamesmanship thing. But yeah, the playoffs, I think, will definitely stay how it is. But maybe they'll institute something where they have to like submit their lineup a few hours before game time rather than 5 minutes before. Something just to add some sort of transparency to the roster for that game.
Okay, that's a good point, though. I'm glad that you brought that up, man, because that's something we can definitely track going forward in the next couple of years. All right, fuck, boys, we'll jump into this. We don't got to go too in-depth here, but, you know, there's already some early odds out for NHL Stanley Cup odds for 2022-2023 season. We'll read through a couple here. If there's any you like, maybe you guys can give me, like, a top five kind of prediction, you know, about who you think is going to win, maybe a long shot or something like that. We'll go off a couple prominent names here. Colorado are currently the favorites at plus 400. Toronto Maple Leafs, plus 800. Tampa Bay, plus 900. Florida, plus 1,000. Vegas plus 1400 if they can get under the cap. Maybe they'll miss playoffs again this next year. We'll have to see. I'll do a little in-depth recording there, see what we can find out. Carolina plus 1400. Edmonton plus 1800. Calgary plus 1800. Minnesota plus 1800. New York plus 2000. We'll do two more. Pittsburgh plus 2000 and Boston plus 2200. So it's a little early, and obviously on future shows, we're definitely going to get a bit more in-depth into this. So if you're looking for content, stay tuned for that. It totally will be coming. But boys, anything there kind of jump off the page at you or what?
I'll let Joel hop in here because I know he's thrown a few bets out in Slack and has already actually placed a few. So I don't want to steal his thunder with what he's already done.
Yeah, the odds that Talon rang out were not from one particular sports book or another. We're not going to say which one. So I feel I've got the license to give out numbers at other books. You can still find the Devils at 100-1, which I think is value. This team is coming on the up. They had a great second half of the season. They just couldn't get the goaltending. We got Dawson Mercer on a on a cheap deal. He's getting the entry-level contract, and Yegor Sharangovich had a breakout season last year. He's still on a cheap deal. I think that these guys can do some damage here and make the playoffs. So at 100-1, if you can find that, 80-1, I'm still okay with that. Devils there are live. I think
I heard, sorry to cut you off, I heard that they have some significant interest in free agent Jack Campbell in net too.
Yes. So they just need that goalie, man. And Mackenzie Blackwood might even be better this year too, because he was actually considered for the Canadian Olympic team before the NHLers decided not to go. So he's actually if he can have a bounce back year too, he's in the mix. But I like the Devils there at a good high number. Another pick, nobody would be surprised by this, but the Islanders. 35-1 here at this book. 40-1, something like that. I think that the Metro Division will have a big shakeup this year. I know maybe the Hurricanes should still be up there, the Rangers. But down the list here, that the Islanders and the Devils here could make some ground up on the Capitals and the Penguins. Of course, it's hard to doubt and fade Sidney Crosby, but I think that these old guys are finally getting old. So and the Rangers at 20-1, I think is a good bet as well.
Yeah,
the Rangers with Shesterkin there and this young core coming up now, and Chris Drury at the helm. The guy's a fucking winner. He wins at every level. So I like what the Rangers are going to do. We saw them get way better at the trade deadline. I think that continues into next season. So watch out for the Rangers maybe to win the division and maybe even win the Stanley Cup, because they might have the most talented goalie, not maybe the best goalie, because that's still Vasilevsky's, but the most talented goalie is Igor Shesterkin. So I think the Rangers are live there at 20-1. I know I don't like this just piling in all on the Metro Division because that's negatively correlated. But as long as they get one of those teams into the Eastern Conference Finals, it'll work out. I love the coach there for the Rangers. And yeah, just this early in the process, you're just looking to find the big numbers, right? And then wait for the other teams maybe fall apart, or you just pick a spot where you bet the Avalanche or the Lightning, something like that, or the Bruins. I'm looking to bet them later in the year. Because those lines will go backwards, whereas these deeper lines like the Devils 100-1, Islanders 40-1, 35-1, those should go up later on. So that's what I'm looking at this early in the process.
I'm surprised you didn't add in the Sabres there, so you could have all the New Jersey, New York team, Devils, Islanders, Rangers.
Fuck yeah!
It would be fitting if Jack Campbell went to New Jersey, because that's where the home of Campbell Soup is, in Camden. So maybe be a homecoming for him.
Right,
yeah. I'm also Devils.
You're the only one who knows that.
There's a few listeners that know that. Devils are a good bet, as Joel said. I mean, you can get it at 75-1 over our friends at WinBet. Have that. A few teams in the West I'm looking at. The Jets plus 60-1. Predators 55-1. I think one of those teams could at least make the playoffs, make some noise there. The Predators were a surprise team this year, had some unfortunate injuries in the playoffs. Jets, you never know what they can do with if they trade Scheifele, get a shakeup, new coach in there. So you'll see what happens there. Going up a bit, maybe the Canucks 4,500, depending on what they do. The Kings 40-1 after making a big splash already with Fiala, after already having some space there. I think that's could be a good look. And coming up to kind of the more favorite teams, I think the Knights 15-1 are going to be a solid bet. I think they have a good coach in place. They have a great team there. Hurricanes also 15-1. They're going to be up right back there again, especially if they get some better goal scoring. And out of the top few teams, I'd probably just go with, I think the Panthers might be good at 10-1 with, if they bring back most of their core and have a more competent coach, they might be able to get past a better team in the playoffs.
All right. I got a couple more things here. The Jets, I did like them early on, and I think they're still waiting for a coach, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, they are. They were in on Trotz, but he said no.
Yeah, so they're still looking for a coach, but I don't like the culture there. We got the players angry with the fans. We got Pierre-Luc Dubois saying he's going to test free agency in two years.
Out.
He just can't wait to get out of there. So I don't like the culture there with the Jets. The Sabres at 50-1 is ridiculous. They don't have a goalie. And
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, bro.
Yeah.
Just look at the fact that they took on Ben Bishop's contract, right? That just tells you that they're not going to be all in. So you don't want to bet on these teams with poor free agency that are just going to be sellers, right? You want to get back teams that are buyers. And who else was I going to say? Yeah, Kings, I don't mind them at 40-1. Canucks at 45-1. They're shopping JT Miller. I'd like to back the Canucks there, but I don't think that they're ready for it. So I know they got that nice Russian prospect coming in, but look for the Canucks in 2 or 3 years. Same with the Sabres, 2 or 3 years. Red Wings, 2 or 3 years. But for now, I would stay away from them.
All right. I'll start off with my biggest, I guess, long shot, if you want to take it. Even though to me they're not that much of a long shot, but if you're gonna give me this team at 45-1, I'm gonna fucking jump all over it here, man. The Dallas Stars, a little sneaky team, and you never really know what to expect. Traditionally, I thought them was kind of a boring team. Well, they came out and they scored some goals. Most importantly, though, they got about $20 million in cap space currently. Now, they do have to sign some guys. Like, Jason Robertson has to get paid. Both goalies, you know, Jake Oettinger, I think I said his name right there, and Scott Wedgwood both need to get contracts.
Yes, he did.
Right, so there's a couple contracts need to be done there. Word around the league is that Alexander Radulov is going back to Russia, so that'll clear up some space here. So look out for them in free agency, man. If they can land a couple of depth guys, maybe it's one last kind of go here with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn and Joel Pavelski up front. But they got a good team, man. Like, fucking Miro Heiskanen's an absolute stud. Esa Lindell, like, they got some, you know, veteran depth with Ryan Sutter, some of the guys I named up ahead, and a hell of a goalie we saw there. So if Jake Oettinger has himself a year next year, and the big boys kind of show up, that could be a sneaky team. If you're going to give me them 45-1, I might sprinkle that a little bit. Yeah, I don't hate Vancouver. I think, like Joel said, they're about a year away from being a year away kind of thing, but they're still a decent team. You know, Calgary plus 1800, I thought they were second best team in the West. This year, it'll be a lot of that depends on what they do this offseason, right? With guys like Goudreau, and if they're able to land a couple free agents. Yeah, man, obviously, yeah, this isn't a surprise. I'm on the Leafs plus 800. Like, fucking, I'm sure we can talk about this later. We're not going to get into this show. There will be a show this summer that I will go into it, but I'm going to take them plus 800, man. And fuck, like, obviously it's not the best value, but Colorado to repeat, fuck, they're the best team in the league, man. They could easily do it. So if I had to pick one of the two best teams, it would be Colorado, Toronto. If I had to pick a long shot, I'm definitely taking Dallas. And if I have to pick a super long shot, fucking Arizona State University Coyotes. What is
500-1, baby?
500-1, baby. Who knows? They could rally. We could have a fucking Miracle on Ice story here. Fuck it. If you're looking for something stupid, there you go.
I also have to mention my Flyers at 60-1. You know, if they get Sean Couturier, Ryan Ellis back, both healthy, it's a top line center, top defenseman, Carter Hart with John Tortorella coach team in front of them. You know, they might be worth more respect than 60-1. I don't know if they're. There's a lot of positivity there, but I think they deserve more respect than that.
All what? Right. I was going to say, I wasn't going to touch that one. But
they should be 100-1.
Yeah, it should be 1,000,000-1.
I think this price assumes that either Goudreau or Kadri is going there. Otherwise, I don't understand 60-1. Your team is done, bro.
Oh, yeah, they're going to sign someone big, and they may even ship out JVR or buy him out to get more cap space.
That's a big buyout, man. Doesn't he have term left too? In seven
no, it's his last year. So
it's his last year.
Yeah,
you know what? That could be a trade deadline move. If you know, they eat half the salary or some shit, and somebody just wants to increase their power play, a big body up front or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So look out for that. But yeah, I don't know about this year, man.
One more thing. I like your Stars play there, 45-1. You know, when you back a team this late. Or this early, rather, in the process, you want to back a team that's going to be investing stuff. And they're going to be investing stuff with those old veterans there. And they got a good coach coming in who wants to win now. Pete DeBoer, obviously, he's made it with the Knights and with the Sharks numerous times. So that's a proven guy that he can get to where they want to be. And they have the number one defenseman there, Miro Heiskanen, and number one goalie, Oettinger. That's all settled. Nick Robertson, too, elite goal scorer. So Jason the Stars Robertson. Actually... Yeah, not fucking Nick Robertson.
Toronto Marley Superstar.
Leafs on the mind somehow. Yeah. Jason Robertson, they're in the Stars too. So, and it's a weak Western Conference, right? You just have to beat the Avs, basically. I mean, the Knights and the Flames are there, but it's basically just all these Western teams versus the Avs, because the Avs are going to be right back there. But 45-1 for the Stars, I don't mind that either for my West long shot.
Especially with that division. They're making playoffs, man. Like, they're beating Arizona, they're beating Chicago, they're beating Winnipeg, they're beating Nashville, and they're beating Minnesota. So they're going to be at the dance, at least.
I don't know if they're beating Minnesota, but I will agree and throw them in there with my Nashville and Winnipeg suggestions, because one of those teams is going to make the playoffs and possibly win a round or two. And Ottinger showed us that he can steal a series if he has to.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Make sure you download the SGPN app. It's now live in the App Store and the Google Play Store. It gives you easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today.
All right, well, that's our way too early NHL Stanley Cup 2022-2023 prediction. Like I said before we did this, we're definitely going to have like a whole show titled to this. We'll break down divisions later, so stay tuned for that. We'll definitely be getting into that for sure. All right, boys, we'll finish it up here. We had our playoff bankroll challenge. It was a bit closer than I thought it was going to be. I'll be 100% honest with you here. In a close third place myself, I ended up with 41 puck bucks and 43 puck cents. In second place, Ryan ended up with 774 puck bucks and 91 puck cents. And of course, not only did the Colorado Avalanche fucking win the Stanley Cup, Colorado Avalanche super fan Joel Meyer won the bankroll challenge with 1,010 puck bucks and the great Wayne Gretzky 99 puck cents here. So congratulations to Joel. Give him a little clap here with all of his future Conn Smythe winnings that he had. He had the fucking mascot to win the Conn Smythe. He had the owner of Ballsack Arena to win the Conn Smythe. He had everybody, but he ended up getting it done with 1,010 puck bucks and 99 cents. Joel, victory speech. What do you got?
Yeah, I didn't do too well on the props and like the game by game, but my strength is always the futures. And that's what won me this thing. Picked the Avalanche to win it all to begin with. Pick my card when the Conn Smythe to begin with. And I got the series bets right, generally speaking. The Canes let me down a bit. It would have been a massive money if the Canes won the Eastern Conference. But oh well, we'll take the Lightning there. As long as the fucking Rangers didn't win, that would have been really fucked. But yeah, I'm happy to win this thing. I won $10.99 altogether. So at least one of us, yet again, is in the profit in our lock dogs and totals picks. Call back to that. But I'm good at the long-term stuff, not so much with the fucking props and whatever, but I'll take this trophy as well.
Yeah, I feel like my Panthers bets that I doubled down on twice was pretty bad. And also if the Hurricanes beat the Rangers, I would have had more there. But yeah, shout out to One Sharp Shark for doing all this. He has all the spreadsheet here with all of our bets in it. Maybe we'll get some.
He just wants to see us lose, though.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
The only reason why he tracks it.
Maybe we'll get some deeper analysis for a more off-season show. And also, shout out to Go Bearcats for winning our Calcutta with the Avalanche there. He beat me out there. I had the Lightning. So hopefully we'll have him on soon to go over that. And we can dish out our winnings as well.
Fuck yeah. We'll get him on ASAP.
Having the first overall pick.
Yeah. I told you the first overall pick was worth it.
Yeah, 100%. Get out of here with that. You also thought the second overall pick was great too, but look how good the fucking Florida Panthers did. Sure, you know, I got to say something about that too. I should have taken the Hurricanes. I know I should have taken the Hurricanes, even though they would have won the same amount of money. I wanted the Hurricanes, and I just listened to the odds too much. I guess I don't know. I believe in the Hurricanes more than the Panthers. I don't know why I picked them. It was just the right pick, I guess. But yeah, I should have picked the Hurricanes first, but didn't matter. I would have made the same amount of money either way.
All right, boys. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. That also pretty much wraps up this show. Before we do head out here, you know, I just got to say, like, this was our first, you know, full season doing this show. It was pretty fucking awesome. Like I said at the actual beginning, too, man, like, we couldn't have done it without all of our, like, listeners in the Slack group. And even if you're not in the Slack and you just tune in and listen to, that's fucking awesome. And everybody that reached out to Twitter, you know, that's kick ass. Everybody that left a review, that was sweet, man. So this whole kind of podcast that we did for the first year, it was fucking sick, dude. And everything worked out awesome. We couldn't have done it without everybody that listened and contributed to our community. So shout out to all you guys. You did a kick-ass job too. Even though you listened to us, you know, say a lot of stupid shit all year long, be prepared for another off season of stupid shit, because we got a lot of things that are going to be cooking. All right.
Yeah. If you thought the full season, the actual season, was stupid shit, just get ready for the off season with all the games. I'm sure Town is cooking up. A couple
games and segments in the works. Ooh. We will see.
Yeah, I echo everything Talon said. Thanks for continuing to support us and listen to us. You know, when we started, we were like, okay, let's just see how this goes. And now, whatever, a full season in the books. You know, we got a good groove here, got some chemistry. We created a great community there in the Slack channel. So I'm proud of us. I'm proud of our listeners, and I'm excited to keep this going.
Yeah, man, and shout out Sports Gambling Podcast Network too, right, for letting us do all this shit. So those guys are fucking awesome, man. Go listen to all the other shows. Go listen to the flagship shows. We say it every week, right? But literally, those guys kick ass, man. So thanks a lot to them. All right, boys, we'll wrap this one up, man. You know, everybody go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website, place to be. There's still tons of content coming out, man. You know, I know it's summertime. NFL is going to be here before we fucking know it, right? And so that's when the shit really starts going down. College football, I know the college football podcast is already up and running with some, you know, early school predictions and run throughs and shit like that. Just go check out all the other content, man. MMA, golf, baseball, NASCAR, CFL, fucking everything, dude. Like, get your ass there, check it out. Lots of good articles, lots of great shows. And keep listening to us, man. You know, we'll still be pumping out content as much as we can, right? So fuck yeah, dude. Ready for the off season. And of course, shout out to all our friends and pals in the Slack groups. Fuck, we've been pumping their tires all show long, so enjoy it. But no, literally, man, you guys are awesome, right? So get your ass in the Slack. If you're not in the Slack, it's not too late, man. Get it in the off season, be along for the ride, and be ready for when next season kicks off. And plus, we got the draft and free agency coming up, so there'll still be lots of hockey content.
Yeah, draft free agency, and I mentioned before the start of these guys, I forgot we have World Juniors coming up in August. So it's really only a few weeks of off season when you count in the draft and free agency and everything going on. But yeah, if you guys, listeners out there, have questions or ideas for segments for the off season, something you want to hear about, let us know on Twitter, let us know in the Slack, let us know in a review. You know, just reach out. We're always trying to cater to what you guys want on top of just our usual shenanigans. So make sure to reach out to us on Twitter at HockeySGPN.
All right, everybody. My name is Talon Jenkins. You can find me at Twitter at Talon_Jenkins94. I will also be found with a fucking mangled liver for drinking away the offseason because we got no hockey to watch.
I'm Ryan Gilbert. You can find me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
I'm Joel Martin. It's funny, ashamed that Talon's giving up the fight against Jeff Fox and the MMA podcast. But guys, I certainly haven't. I went 12-0 in the UFC picks on Saturday, putting those guys to shame. So we're going to fucking rip their heart out as Beijing Wings displayed in a little meme there on the Slack. We fucking killing it, even in the fucking sports we're not covering.
We'll get back at it. No worries. Darn.
Oh.